continue, but I'd like to welcome you all to the Careers Service here today. Thank you for coming along. My name's Lizzie Darlington, and I'm one of the Careers Advisors here at the Careers Service. My general role, we all have quite a large portfolio, but the main areas I look after are students who are looking to go into finance, being investment banking, accountancy, the professional services. I look at some students who are looking to go into management consultancy or advisory. So we thought it would be a good idea to run an occupational session called Careers in Investment Banking. We have different kind of backgrounds, the careers advisors here, so we all come from different sectors. I myself left the banking sector a year ago, and then I've become a careers advisor myself, working first for Cambridge University, and then I've working with your lovely self here at Oxford. So that is my background. But I'd be quite interested to get a bit of a show of hands at the kind of audience we've got in this room, i.e. can you raise your hands if we have any first years in the room here today? No first years. Second years? Penultimate years? Okay, probably about a third. Final years? Okay, majority are probably final years. And then master's students, taught, research, PhDs, any PhDs in the room? Okay, that's really helpful because obviously the information I provide is going to be slightly, I'll try and do it to the majority of you, but some of the information will be slightly different dependent on what years you are, but you can come and ask me follow-up questions or come and see me afterwards. Okay, so let's get started. Let's have a think about what I want to cover in today's session. I'm first going to take you through a little bit of a quick overview of the graduate labour market as it is at the moment. I've spent the whole summer with investment banks, with accountancy firms, with asset management and fund managers trying to find out what situation they are. Are they hiring? If so, how many numbers? And at what stage? You know, probably some people here will be well aware that they recruit a good year in advance. So if so, do they have full-time positions? And if so, in what areas? So I'm going to try and do a bit of an overview of that for you. I'm then going to talk through the changing landscape of investment banking. So there's a few things that have obviously happened, I'm sure some of you are aware, over the past couple of years, which means that the idealised view of investment banking and the respect that the industry maybe once had has diminished somewhat. And looking at the ways in which banks are trying to recover from this and how in some ways it could offer some of you in this room more opportunities going forward just due to the increased regulation, different things that are going on, increased roles in certain areas. And then going to look at career choice, and I've specifically put in roles and skills. Now, if I got £1, I don't know if people say this, but for the amount of people who come and see me in a room and tell me they want to work in investment banking, and then when I ask them the question, okay, so what role? And they give me a little bit of a blank look, you know, I would be a millionaire. It really is the case that people think investment banking because it is an interesting area to work in, it's intellectually challenging, but one of the things that employees are looking for students to do is to be able to think about all the different roles within investment banking and to be able to match their skills as to where they think they fit. Are you market driven? Do you want to work with clients? Do you want to work in IT, operations, finance? You know, are you more of a risk side? Would you want to work in credit risk, market risk? These are some of the different roles that to apply to these banks, they want to see that you have a good general understanding of how investment banks work. So we're going to do a little bit on roles. I'm going to split you into kind of pairs, and I want you to review some of those roles and think about some of the skills you might need to demonstrate in applications to be able to apply successfully for these roles. Then I'm going to go on and look at the sourcing opportunities, how you can use the careers service, how you can use this busy Michaelmas term to see as many investment banks as you would like to, how you can make the most of those opportunities, because going along asking questions such as when's your closing date is not going to help you with an application. Asking questions such as where is your business moving, what strategy, which markets are you going into is going to seriously help you when you need to distinguish yourself on an application form. So little things like that we'll cover in sourcing opportunities. Strategy for applying, when do you need to be considering it? How do you go about it? Do you need to start doing it in the next few weeks? Or have you got a little bit more time to think about things? And then there'll be time for questions at the end. So it's a bit of a whistle-stop tour. I've got quite a lot to get through. I'm going to try and keep it interactive in parts. And we are being recorded today. So if you have any friends who can't come or couldn't make it, we are going to have this up on our website as a kind of live podcast. Well, not a live podcast, a podcast for people to listen over. So some of you may be recorded on that as well if you wish to be. Okay, so just have a look at this slide that I've got up here for you. Panic on the campus as graduate jobs disappear. The Independent, January 09. Quarter of graduate vacancies vanish and next year no better, say study. The Guardian, June 09. You will have all been reading these headlines in the papers, and I'm not surprised if some of you are worried about getting jobs and are starting to think if jobs out there, and if so, how competitive are they to get into? And what I would like to say is, yes, it is competitive, and the next slide will give you a bit of an indication for how competitive it is. I think on average, and this was from the Associate of Graduate Recruiters, which is a big organisation where approximately, I think, 200 organisations feed information to the Associate of Graduate Recruiters, and it's the top investment banks and the top four professional services agencies, these kind of companies. 70 applications, or almost 70 applications per vacancy, and that's actually a lot higher for investment banking. I think it goes up to something like 89 for some of the companies. A lot of the employers are looking for a 2-1 and above, and I would say if you want to get into a graduate role in investment banking, you need to be securing a 2-1 or above to be realistic. I would like to give you some good news though, because although there is all of this feedback and we've had information from a few different surveys, the investment banks are generally saying numbers are increasing, and we're seeing that across the scale. So, with regard to how they're recruiting, how they're going about things, what areas they're going to be in, they might not be in the particular areas that you particularly want to work in, but they are increasing vacancies overall, and they are doing a lot more of their recruitment, obviously, via internships and off-cycle internships. That is something to be very aware of, and we'll talk about that in a bit more detail later. Any questions so far? This is just a little slide to say don't put your head in the sand, and anyone who's come to see an induction with me already will have seen this, because I think it's very important that you don't panic about these headlines. We are here to help at the Career Service. There's plenty of employers scrambling to get to Oxford graduates. They're here twice every evening, the investment banks at the moment, so there are opportunities. They're not just saving face. Okay, so let's start looking at the changing landscape. Can anyone tell me of some of the larger, bigger investment banks that don't exist anymore? Does anyone want to throw some names out?
Lehman Brothers.
Lehman Brothers, absolutely. Yeah. Any takeovers that have happened? Anyone? Hand up. Yeah, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, they now have that, sorry, it's Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, we should say now, is their title. So a lot has changed, and these were huge. Merrill Lynch was a huge graduate employer. You know, we've got companies like Nomura, who are more prevalent now, absolutely, because of the changes. You know, Barclays Capital took on, you know, the American kind of US side of operations of Lehman Brothers, and yet it's all changed. So there is a lot of change going on, and it's important that you know about these changes and are able to probably talk about them, not so much on your application, but when you get to interview stage, they will expect you to have a general understanding of how things have changed. What I also wanted to point out though is that these things are cyclical. You know, at the moment we're starting to hear good news. You know, we're hearing that vacancies are going up, the markets are starting to improve. I think it's interesting, we'll go on to see people who know, is it very steady, is it a gradual climb, or is this a bit of a blip and we could go back down again? It'll be interesting to see. But what's important to remember is this happened not to the same scale, but about 7 years ago. And what happened was the graduate recruiters stopped hiring, they stopped coming onto campus for the investment banks, and they really suffered through it. So they're really committed to keep on recruiting throughout these harder times. And as I said, things are starting to pick up. So though at the moment you're hearing lots of stuff about regulation, I'm sure soon enough memories will fade and some structured products will start to be produced again, and we'll get all the guys in quants and structuring and mathematical modelling who will be doing some fairly tricky products and derivatives for clients who want them. So it's just important to remember that these things do go on. They still require graduates, absolutely. And in a way, it's a better time for you to join. You're going to come in when regulation is at its highest. You're going to learn lessons that your managers, senior managers, don't know, which you can pass on. It will give you a great basis to be able to go on and work within this industry. And if there are slightly fewer numbers in the areas that you're working in, it will mean that when you get to more senior levels, there's more opportunities for you to move into different areas. So important to remember as well. And that's covered off with kind of learn more in difficult times, absolutely. I've kind of already talked through that. Every presentation and bank I meet with, or graduate recruiter, or business guy I see, tells me that they're trying to, you know, recover their name. They don't want to be seen as, you know, I don't know whether any of you have been to see Wall Street and the new film that's just come out, or they don't want to be seen as the initial Wall Street. They do want to recover their reputation. And I think the banks who were quite untouched through the financial crisis, they're really going to be selling that to you in their presentations. So again, just researching to what's happened to the different banks. If, you know, you're going to apply to RBS, what have they gone through? What will their standpoint be on where they're going to go forward? They've had to change a lot. They're going to have to be doing things and making money in different areas. So just think about all these things when you're applying across the board. All the banks are in a very different situation at the moment. It's always going to be intellectually challenging. I think whatever role you go into, and I know Oxford graduates are looking for stimulating roles, they are. You will be worked hard in whatever role you go into. A lot of responsibility is given to people early on because they want to see that you can cope with clients. I'm not saying that it's all going to be glamorous. If you go into M&A, you'll be working on horrible PowerPoint presentations till 2-3 in the morning, and you will. Some of you may have already had experience of this if you've done internships. But there is a lot of room in there for you to be stimulated, use some of the skills that you've already got and acquired through your time at Oxford. As I talked about, areas of growth. Do you want to give me some ideas of areas where you think there might be some growth? Put your hand up.
Risk management?
Risk management, absolutely. And just across the board, you know, FSA, companies like the FSA, who obviously are changing now, but the risk management teams, either on market side, within banks, are growing. They've got bigger graduate schemes, and there's more regulation. So yeah, absolutely agree. Any other ideas?
Debt markets,
yeah, absolutely. Do you want to explain why, do you think?
Well, it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, but maybe in case other people perhaps haven't.
Well, it's related to stricter EU regulations and stricter regulations in the United States.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. Other areas, I don't know whether there's any mathematical people out there or the quantity side, but electronic trading, an area that is growing. Some products you'll find just because of the situation we're in, you know, like FX trading might be in an area of growth at the moment. These are all things that I would expect you to look out for when you're starting to do your research. You can find these things through information online in the financial press. We can cover this later, but these are some of the things to consider. Okay, so I've got a slide up here about career choice and the roles. So really, I've split it down, and it's hard to do, but into the different areas, main areas, that are kind of covered by banking, investment banking. So up at the top there, I've got investment banking, corporate finance. Anyone know what ECM is? No? Yeah?
Equity capital markets.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll let you do DCM. Do you know?
Debt capital markets,
yeah, absolutely. Equity capital markets and the debt capital markets, and M&A, which I'm sure you've heard of, which is?
Mergers and acquisitions,
absolutely. Yeah, so just to talk about this, this is banking generally, investment banking in these areas, doing banking for governments, institutions, companies, high level clients, takeovers, mergers, advising clients on how to avoid being taken over in some cases. So it's going to be a lot of work, a lot of client work, a lot of PowerPoint presentation, researching, valuing companies. That's kind of covered in the investment banking sector. Global markets, and I've put in there sales, trading, and research. This is the area where you're going to be obviously closely tied to the markets. You get in early, 7 o'clock, usually in the morning, but you do get to go home at a decent time unless we're entertaining clients. So you get out probably 6, 6.30, as opposed to some people on the investment banking side who are there till late in the evening. And the reason is that you're working with the markets. So when they open in the UK, you pick up from where, let me get this right, Singapore has just left it. And when you leave, you hand over to your colleagues who are in New York and they take over. Again, very different skills, and we're going to look at the skills perhaps for some of these areas on the next slide. But a salesman would be expected to be on the phone, getting new clients, working with traders within their team to try and get them the best deals they can. Trading, quite an individual role, or can be, mixture as well, depending on whether you go into a flow trading role or more of a quantitative trading role, in which case you might be working on longer deals and spend longer doing the modelling, doing the mathematical equations. And research, they often take people who have quite a lot of economic knowledge into research, who can then mix that up, because obviously you're researching about companies, markets, whatever, throughout the day, and then you give the trading teams and sales team in your institution an update every morning and kind of throughout the day. Infrastructure and operational roles. So these are often called middle office, back office, which they like to not be referred to anymore when you're are speaking to the banks. So again, finance, IT, huge amount of roles in IT within banking at the moment, and a massively interesting area to get into where you can be using very complex skills within those roles. It's not just about developing systems, you can be using some very, very complex program skills. Risk and compliance, all things which are very important at the moment. Happy to talk to you in more detail about these. Fund management, also asset management, kind of the interchangeable names, and investment consulting you might be seeing around a little bit more. These are interesting. It's obviously investing other people's money, and some people say earning a fee for the privilege. In pension funds, we're dealing with pension funds and investments, basically, for different kind of companies. Hedge funds is a growing area as well, which is where you're taking a bit more of a risk. So you might be mixing up traditional investment methods, but mixing it up with some new kind of more complex derivative products to try and make a better amount of money for your clients. It's quite difficult to get into hedge funds straight from university. They are sometimes looking for people who have worked within banking, but it might be an area you might be looking to head into in the future. Private banking and wealth management pretty much does what it says on the tin. It's banking for very rich and wealthy individuals who want to keep the information of what they're doing private, and helping them to invest in what's going to be the best way to manage their money, and thinking about things like when they need to pass on money, how are they going to pass that on to their loved ones, family, and the best ways for them to go on and do that. Quite an interesting area, and again, quite a lot of travel around the world, so it might be an interesting area for some people. And then retail and high street banking, where you're working obviously with either smaller businesses, companies, you're actually going into the retail banks, but some of them, like HSBC, they might have schemes where you do 6 months within the retail or the actual branch site, but then you actually have 18 months when you're in headquarters learning new skills and management training and that sort of thing. So not one to discount. I would say you might have a plan A, you might have a plan B. Retail banking might be your plan C for some people in this room. So, think about it and think about the options there are. Okay, enough of me chatting. Up on the board, I have put a mixture of kind of front office, different descriptions. I've got the M&A, IBD, so investment banking division, sales, trading, research, quant analytics, risk management. I've got infrastructure up there and the different roles within the infrastructure teams within banks. Now, maybe if we just split it down the room here, so you can go on either side. Who am I going to ask? Okay, the side over here If you can work in pairs with the person next to you, pick off a couple of those different things and start to think about some of the skills that you need to demonstrate to employers that you've got if you're looking to work in those areas. And if I can ask the people over here to cover off the infrastructure roles, I'm just going to pick out a couple after 2-3 minutes and just ask for some skills from you that you think you're going to need to demonstrate. So have a think for that particular role, because this is where people are telling me that students are falling down, they're not doing the research. Okay? Thank you. Okay, so to get the information that I've got today, obviously I used my own knowledge, and that was from working for 4.5 years, and I've mainly recruited traders, structurers, researchers and quant analytics people into roles. But also I contacted my colleagues and friends who, I tell you, are still a lot of them working in this sector, and they're the people who come to me and moan on me on a Friday night when they're not getting the applications that they're looking for, and so people showing the skills. So this is real stuff. I'm not trying to catch anyone out, but if you can start to think about these skills and how you move your application away from the generic cliches which they see every day, this should start to help you. So we might have not covered all areas, and I'm not going to go through them all because we'll be here all day. But let's take M&A first of all. Did anyone do M&A? If you put your hand up. Do you mind saying some of the skills that you think would be required for somebody who's working within M&A?
Say to process a lot of information very quickly and extract out what you actually need to make decisions.
Absolutely. So for people who didn't hear that, processing information, a lot of information quite quickly, and trying to extract the data that's going to be truly important. Yeah, I completely agree. Any others? Putting you on the spot here, you don't have to. That, I agree with that one.
Determination and stamina.
Absolutely, I completely agree with that. Yeah, a lot of stamina, because you will be working long hours. Some of the other things that people gave me were, you're going to be, and some of these are just descriptions, but some of the, my friends said managing corporate relationships, they want to see project leadership, they want to see people who are effective at building those partnerships. So can you give solid examples of how you build relationships with people? Ability to spot the problems and find solutions, that's, you know, kind of covering off what you said. And they said it's very much the more consultant type role. For those of you who might be considering management consultancy M&A, you know, maybe you're split somewhere down the middle, it is a very consultant type role. Okay, let's try one completely different then and go for trading. Did anybody cover off trading? Nobody. Okay. Anyone who wants to give me some skills for the ones that they did do? That would be helpful. Come on, guys.
As you're trading, you have to be very fast on your feet. So being able to respond really quickly and deal with high pressure and make changes in that kind of environment.
And the ability to thrive under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great, guys. Yeah, I mean, top of the list is quick thinking, significant focus and strong analytical skills. I mean, some of you might have already worked on the trading floor, some of you might not have. For those who have or haven't, you need to be thinking in a very, you know, when you were all chatting before and it got very loud in here, that's what a trading floor is like the whole time, and you need to be dealing with the clients in a very efficient manner, or dealing with other traders, deciding on prices. You know, not making the error, i.e. putting an extra dot where it shouldn't be, which would cost the company millions or, you know, billions of pounds of money. It's a very important role that you are on the spot with quick thinking and going through things in a very, very precise manner. Resilience and accountability, you will no doubt be shouted at some point by lots of people. You need to be able to stand up for yourself, and you need to not be a shrinking violet on that trading floor. Probably that's the same for all roles within banking. Ability to work independently, absolutely. There's not, though you are working within teams, a lot of the work that you're going to be doing is against a spreadsheet and making sure that you're, you know, producing accurate information. So are you good at working on your own? Do you like times when you're doing projects? Or do you rather like to work in a group environment where you're constantly interacting with people? Think about these sorts of things. And you need to know the liquidity in the market. Now, some of you obviously might not know that yet, but that's something that once you get to that stage, you need to start showing that you know what's going on, how money is moving around that market. Okay, great, thank you. I'm not going to do all of them, so you know, you can come and see me, or I can give you a list of some of the information I've got here. That's absolutely fine, or we can talk about it in a session. But I'm just going to move on now to some of the infrastructure roles. So people always go for the front office, but can somebody tell me what you think you might need within compliance? Let's say, did anyone do a compliance role? No?
I need to understand some industry standards.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of the regulation, the legal side, you would need to know. Absolutely, completely agree. Anyone else want to? Okay, so they evaluate and manage regulatory risks, which is what you've covered off. Broad knowledge of different jobs and functions within the firm, because you could be dealing with a trader one day to someone with an M&A the other day. So you've got to have a good understanding. Detail orientated, absolutely. You know, so I'm trying to really drill down into some of the specifics that you need to be showing on your applications, and good judgment. So people who have show integrity, and that's something that I would say goes for all roles as well within the bank. Anybody want to take me through another thing that they did do within the infrastructure side? Anybody do, let's say, something completely different, marketing? Yeah?
We said that you probably need to have excellent business knowledge to be working in marketing. You need to be regularly following trends. Have some background in some of the tools and paradigms used in marketing. We also thought the ability to work in a team is crucial within this department, and you need to have excellent communication skills in order to do that.
Absolutely. I think you've summed that up absolutely brilliantly. The funny thing about roles within, like HR and marketing within these areas, is do they need to be experts in economics and finance? Probably not, no. They are looking for different skills. However, you need to have an interest, and if you're thinking of going for these roles within an investment bank, you need to show that you're walking around with your eyes open, you understand about companies, you understand about how they're valued. You are numerical, because you all have to take the online test that we're going to cover slightly later. So, you know, all of the things that you mentioned as well, plus an interest in the sector. Okay, thank you. I hope that's just got you thinking a little bit more about researching into roles and where you might be a good fit. So if I do see you, you might be able to start to say to me, well, I think I might be a good fit here, okay? And then we can take that further. So going on from that, I wanted to talk about how you then demonstrate the skills on your CV and application. Now, these are real applications that were sent through to Morgan Stanley. Were sent through to a different bank about an experience that somebody's had, a summer internship. Now, can somebody put their hand up and tell me what they think is good about this? Good points. Can you read it? Yeah.
It goes through what they did and the skills that
Okay, just repeating that back because of the sound recording, so when people speak back. But yeah, it does go through exactly what they did. It goes through what they achieved, more importantly. It gives me specific information and language that they actually can talk in, which, you know, employers are going to go, oh, I know what European yield model is. I know what real estate in the Middle East is. You know, they're picking out... They're talking in the language that the business are going to want to be talking in. They're talking about macroeconomic variables. You know, these are all things that are great to be able to get across and show that you understand what you're talking about. Anywhere where you can put in figures, you can talk about how you may have improved systems. This is great ways to demonstrate to an employer that you understand the role that you're going to be doing and you understand what they're looking for. Now, some of you might turn to me and go, yeah, but I haven't had an internship within Morgan Stanley for 10 weeks. How do I demonstrate my skills? I completely understand that. It's a lot easier once you have had an internship to speak in a language. But there are ways to demonstrate your skills, and I go on to show you on this slide here completely different role. This is somebody who's done volunteer work in Romania, but this could be volunteer work in Oxford. It could be volunteer work, you know, absolutely anywhere in the world. It could be working in the cooperative. It could be working at Tesco. So what I really don't want to see is people coming and saying, I've not got any work experience. I've only done 5 years working within, you know, Tesco before I joined university. Okay, that still shows that you're a good team player, you can be relied upon, you can deal with money, you deal with customers and clients on a daily basis, you can handle difficult customers and clients. So you need to be pulling out the relevant skills. So I just wanted to show you there, you know, they've put details, they've put figures, worked with a team of 11, you know, talk about the orphanage. They show the skills that they've improved. So practical problems, generating new ideas and make sound judgment in complex situations so that the scheme would be effective. You need to draw this out and prove to the employer that you have the skills that they're looking for. So that's just something I wanted to go through with you, just to give you a demonstration of what they're looking for on the CV. Okay, moving on then. So sourcing opportunities, and this is something that you're probably keen to get on with and know about. So, obviously I'm going to put the first point of call, the career service, because that's what I'm here to do. We have so much going on this term and for the rest of the year, but for people looking to get into banking, reality is you need to be looking now and you need to be applying now, especially for the bigger firms. If it's more boutique firms, they might do ad hoc hiring throughout the year, but I still think it's important that you use your time in Michaelmas term to get in front of the employers, to go to the careers fairs, and to start to do the research you need to do. So, different things, and I don't know what stage you all are at and how much access you have to the career service, but one thing you need to be doing is registering online with the internal part of our website called Career Connect. Once you have registered with Career Connect, you can have access, obviously, to all our online events diaries. You have access to the vacancy database. On that vacancy database, we have all the internships. We have spring sessions. So if we did have any first years, for the first years who are looking for things, it's not just about the full-time roles. And all of the banks do advertise for us because they know it's free. It's free for them and they want Oxford graduates. So everything should be up there. Okay, Michaelmas Term Planner should have been posted and you should have all seen that. The Michaelmas Term Planner, I'm not sure if I've got a copy down here. Oh, there's one down here. Has all the events. It's probably out of date because employers change things all the time or add new events. That's why I'm saying look online for up-to-date information. However, this will start to give you an idea for how many presentations. There's about two a night for the banks and the finance industry. Finance Sector Fair. I have brought down the booklet. It already has all the people who are coming along in here. You should take one of these away from you today. They're on the front desk. You should be looking at the key employees you want to go and see at the finance fair. And I want you to be thinking of questions that are interesting and going to help either with your applications, or if you want to get your applications in earlier than that, then helping you once you get to the interview process. Okay, so what I mean is don't ask any information that's in this booklet because they will have heard it 5 times, probably 5 million times that day, and they'll want to kill you. What they want to see is someone who comes up and says, okay, well, I see that there seems to be, you seem to be doing more business with these sorts of clients, or I've heard that this is going on. Is that right? And if so, where could I find more information about that? Or could you tell me more about the specific skills I would need if you're in sales and I'm looking to go into sales? Okay, so be asking questions that really get to the nitty-gritty of what you want to know and are going to actually help you. Okay, so that is on the 21st and 22nd of October. Hope to see you there. We actually have presentations starting at 2 o'clock at the Finance Sector Fairs. On day one, it's finance, alternative financial roles. So I think we've got Procter & Gamble and we've got Man Group coming to speak, just for 15 minutes each. And on day two, on the Friday, we have, I think it's Deutsche Bank doing roles in investment banking, and I think it's Deloitte doing roles within accountancy, but I would need to check that. Vacancies online, I've talked you through those. All of the things are up there, so do look online. Company presentations covered off already. I've already been to three, and it's what, day one of two? So there is lots of things going on. You can't possibly go to all of them. You can't, it will kill you. So really do select a range. Go to five of the bulge bracket, then perhaps go to four of the more medium-sized firms, or a firm like Rothschild's, you know, an investment bank, but perhaps not one of the first banks you might consider, you know, applying to. Really have a look and start to think, okay, well, I want to go and see a variety of these things. So you really get a feel for the culture. I do realise you're all sitting there going, you know, but they ask us to explain the culture and why we want to apply, and they're all exactly the same. I know that, we know that, they know that, but what they want to see is that you've tried to do some research to find out why they're slightly different than their main competitor, okay? Employee-led skills sessions we do throughout term. They're very useful in that, you know, employers come in, they do things on applications, they do presentations on assessment centres, group activities. It's just another opportunity for you to start to get involved in assessment type processes. We have mock interviews as well with employers that will be doing kind of general competency based questions, but that is obviously the kind of questioning you would receive at the first round interview stage for an investment bank. So would be worthwhile coming along and maybe trying some of those. You can sign up to them at reception upstairs. Student societies. So how else? If you don't just go to presentations with us, look, some of you are maybe already members and signed up, but we've got the Oxford Investment and Finance Society, OxWib, Oxford Women in Business, if you're not aware, Capitox, Oxford Entrepreneurs, they go on and on. These companies, I mean, I'm already signed up to their mailing list. I know that employers are doing specific events through them. They've got either presentations, trading games, skills workshops. So if you're not already a member, maybe look to join if you're interested. It's another thing to have on your CV as well. If you've got nothing finance related on your CV to date, how do you show an employer that you have an interest in finance? This is a good way to do that, is to join one of these things and go to some of these presentations. Okay, online weekly newsletter. Some of you should be receiving that each week. It will have all up-to-date information about what's going on, i.e. we have CVs for investment banking on Monday next week. Some of you might like to come along and, you know, see that presentation. And Oxford Careers Network. Now, this is an alumni database that we have, and you can access again through the website. You can put in a search word for investment banking, and it will bring up people who are all alumni of Oxford who have said that they're happy to be contacted by graduates and students within Oxford University to ask them about their career, how they got into their career, how you could go about, you know, getting into their career. Anything you like, you send them an initial email, and if they do have time, and some of them are busy, granted, so you might need to give it a bit of time, but they will contact you and you can have a phone conversation with them. Definitely a worthwhile resource. And if you don't find anyone through there, if you have friends, colleagues, family, anybody working within the industry, I would suggest you pick up the phone and you have conversations with them before you get your applications in, okay? It's the best way to find out about what it's like to do a career is to speak to people who are doing that career. That's the end of it, really. Okay, just to point you through some of the things. The Resources Centre we've got upstairs, you may have already seen it. Late opening until 7 p.m. on Thursdays during Michaelmas week. So if any of you are busy, you wanted to come in at a later stage, you can do, and you can meet with one of the careers advisors. We have a lot of occupational information upstairs as well. A lot of the information is online, but if you want more specific information about, let's say, the CFA, professional bodies, these sorts of things, you can find that upstairs. Okay, careers advisors, drop in appointments with either myself or one of the other 8 careers advisors I think we have here. Monday to Friday, 10:30 till 4:30. Gets very busy in the afternoons, even though we have 3 careers advisors on there. So if you can, try and come in the morning if you want to be guaranteed a slot. You can also book appointments. You can book appointments with particular careers advisors. So if you do want to, I'm scared to say this now, but book an appointment with myself, you are very welcome to go up and book them, you know, upstairs after reception or online. And they will be 20-minute appointments where I'd be happy to look at a CV, covering letter, etc. Drop-in CV clinics weeks 1 to 4, that's very short, 10 minutes, quick overview of your CV, give you pointers, and then you go off and make those changes, hopefully, and then feel free to apply. All right? workshops and talks. I've covered off some of these. So application interview skills workshops, either by careers advisors themselves or employer-led. Mock interviews, very good source. If you haven't had many interviews, it is very helpful to put yourself into a situation where you know you're going to have to answer questions to an employer. They're confidential, so you know they've got no bearing on if you know you were to be interviewed by an employer from PwC. It's not going to have any bearing on your actual, you know, application. But it's a great service that they do provide. The only thing is, if you're going for technical roles, let's say quant roles, trading roles, they're not going to ask you specific financial questions or put an equation in front of you and say, do this. Whereas you might get that if you actually go for a proper interview at a bank for a trading role. So just to know that and be aware. And occupational careers talks, which is what we're doing today. Michaelmas planning you should already have, and I've talked through it. Careers fairs, not only do we have the ones here, we've got 5 international ones. So for people who are not UK based, do look out for those. Main ones, finance sector fair, management consultancy fair, perhaps for those of you, that's the day before, so on the 20th of October. Careers in economics might be an interesting area for you. That's at the Department of Economics. However, it is more for people who are looking to use economics very much within their role, so not necessarily finance. We'll have a big range of economic research organisations and different areas like that. We're trying to close it off, if I'm honest, to the banks, because we know that they have access to people throughout, you know, this Michaelmas term, so it's a bit more specific. This is Career Connect. This is the vacancy search that I told you about, and this was a live search that we did, I think, last week. I just put in the search term finance. You could be more specific than that, but look at the kind of range of organisations it's already brought up. So EMB Consultancy, Boston Consulting Group, Strategia Fit, Transport for London, FSA, Parthenon, Citibank, Korea. It just gives you an idea for the range. It's not just the big 12 investment banks. You could be doing different financial roles within so many different industries or sectors, and that's important to remember. Okay, so strategy for applying. Need to apply early. For the finalists who put their hands up, yes indeed. You probably have already seen some of the deadlines, but the deadlines are literally beginning to middle of November for full-time roles. So you've not got long. You've not got long to get these applications in. I'd also like to stress, and I just want to be realistic in this, for some of the top investment banks, their most popular roles, I should say, will have already gone. They will have been taken by summer interns who were there the year before and have already been promised roles. So if you're looking for roles within M&A, investment banking, trading, sales, perhaps for some of these organisations, check and see that they're still open, like you can apply to them and they are still looking for full-time roles. They generally are for some of their more unusual roles, or perhaps if they need a specific language, but it's very important that you get your applications in quite quickly and start to do your research. For internships, I think the deadlines are more about the middle to end of December. So for people looking to apply for internships, you've got a little bit more time, but I would always say these banks recruit on a rolling basis. So as soon as you feel that you're at a stage where you've done your research, you've thought about the role, you've got your CV and cover and letter or application form in a good shape, I would be looking to submit it. I wouldn't wait. That's one of the key things I would say. CVs. So I've told you the services that you can use to start upskilling them. There's going to be a session next week, so I'm not going to go into this in too much detail. But for people who are undergraduates and maybe even the taught master's students, you should be looking to submit one-page CVs. They are quite strict, especially some of the international companies. So it's really a case of what is relevant, what can I scratch off this CV? So you'll really need to think about what do I want to include. And usually the best advice I can give for CVs is try and split it into a third. You've got your contact details obviously at the top, but then you've got your academic experience in the top third of the paper, you've got your work experience, and that doesn't necessarily mean relevant, but work experience in the next section. Positions of responsibility, if you don't have that work experience, perhaps goes into that section. And then you have interests, activities, club membership, you know, are you a reader of the Financial Times? Do you follow Robert Peston's blog on BBC? What are you doing to show these employers that you're interested in finance? Because if you're not telling them, there'll be plenty of people who are telling them, okay? So you need to be thinking about how you're demonstrating your interest to this area as well. Online application forms. A lot of these companies use online application forms, as you're aware. So instead of the CV covering letter, you've got to use these horrible three or four questions which say things like, can you tell me how the current changes in the market may affect the role you've applied for? Or something along these lines. Or, you know, tell me what motivates you to join trading, operations, whatever. And then they just give you 90 words or something to be able to write your answers in there. Now, this is where people are falling down. It really is. So you do need to do your research for this. You need to make sure that every word counts for these pieces. They're looking for demonstrable evidence, is what I can say. So they don't want you to tell them, I've got this skill and that skill, I'm a great interpersonal, and I can make relationships and this and that, and great, tick, 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 but prove it. You need to prove it by giving them either one example or two detailed examples where you're putting in figures, you're showing how you've achieved something, because you increase participation at an event by 25%. You need to be able to demonstrate anything that you put on there. And if you don't, they do get read, so you will be out. You can't just put in a great CV and think, oh, the application, does anyone read this? Yeah, unfortunately, I used to sit at night and cry over some of the applications that I received, because you might get a great CV and somebody who put, see my CV. Well, great. If you're not going to be bothered to, you know, tell me, then I'm not going to be bothered to put you through to the next round. I hate to be so brutal, but it gives me a nice feeling being on both sides. I know you've got loads of work to do and that you're applying to 12 different banks, and they probably do, and it's a lot of strain, it's a lot of work. And when I'm telling you to do your research for each company, I know you're thinking, when am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And we can talk about some of those ways in a second. But they will not give you the time of day if you do not prove to them that you've done some of the research. So please do think about it. Psychometric testing. Have any of you sat these tests before? Yeah? About, yeah. How do you find them?
Tough.
Maths-wise,
yeah.
Okay, maths-wise. Right, yeah, absolutely. The psychometric testing is obviously their tool for screening out a majority of people. You shouldn't fail them if you've practiced. I imagine most people who are here in this room and at Oxford University are all good enough to be able to pass these tests. However, you do need to practice them. You can practice online at the Career Service, again, on the internal site, so Career Connect. You can go down and download tests to do, and that will give you feedback and tell you your score. We have plenty of books upstairs for you to take out and practice online tests. So what I would say is, don't rush through. Make sure you do some practice tests. If you've done about 10 and you're, you know, averaging above, it's hard to say because they all have different marks, but averaging over 70, then you might feel that you're at a place where you're comfortable to start taking on some of these tests, okay? Now, they all have different boundaries, so I'm not going to say 70 is the cutoff, but you want to be, you know, trying to get above that in the marks that you're getting back. So really put yourself through these tests, and most of them do the numerical and verbal reasoning. For people who English is not their first language, you can take verbal reasoning in your home language, your native language, if they have it. Sometimes they don't. I have had some people say, yeah, but they don't have this one. Unfortunately, then you can't. But if they do have it, you can take it. And I think most banks advise you to do it in your native language if you can.
Do all sections require testing?
Usually, yes. So, for example, if you go for an HR stream, for most of those things, you still need to do the numerical and verbal reasoning. As I say, they sometimes have different levels, so they may have a 50% cutoff rate for some of their non, front office roles, whereas they might have a higher rate for, you know, slightly other areas. And they're constantly reviewing the online testing process. Some banks now will take both into consideration, i.e. it's not automatic cut-off if you, you know, fail at your tests, but a lot of them still have this as an automatic screening tool, unfortunately. And it's just a loop that you have to jump through. So if you are struggling, you know, do come and see me or ask up at reception for them to show you the section we have on testing and just go through some, photocopy some and do them in the evening and see how you're performing. Timing is the problem. I think you would probably agree. You're asked to do something like 37 within 20 minutes or something, or 19 minutes. It's ridiculous. So trying to just get through and get through as many questions as you can is the difficulty. So do practice. Interviews and doing your research. I'm going to go on. I might do that now. I'm going to go on to just a few interview questions that you'll have on the sheet in front of you. Now, I have just put up some general competency-based questions, and I've also put up some commercial awareness, which is the dreaded thing that all banks are asking people to have. Do you have business awareness, commercial awareness, and how do you prove it? Now, you know what I'm going to ask you. I was going to give you a couple of minutes to work with somebody next to you and pick one question from the general and competency questions and one question from the commercial awareness questions, and just have a go at asking each other these questions so you have a bit of a practice. And if we have any brave volunteers to come up and maybe do one, that would be fantastic. But what's important is that you start to have a look at the type of questions you're going to be asked, because this will be at first round as well as, you know, as you go through the process. They are testing on these things. So I'll give you just 2 or 3 minutes and then we're pretty much near the end of the presentation. Is that all right? Great. I'll let you get going. No. I don't know. Have any of you managed to get through one of those questions, and would any of you be happy to give us an example of it? Oh, thank you so much. So, so brave. Brilliant. Okay.
Why did you want to choose investment banking as a career?
Okay.
Just an interest in the markets. Like, you want a dynamic workplace. Everything is changing all the time. Just a general interest in what's going on. And, yeah, a challenging career.
Okay, right, yeah, okay. I would say, yeah, good start, very good start. I would say, going on from that, you might want to give them a specific example, maybe. So you might say, you know, having read this article, or having spoken to one of your representatives, or just one of my, you know, one of the representatives I've met at Oxford, you know, this year, you know, when they told me about the fact that you got to work on a variety of different projects and with different clients or this sort of thing over, you know, a period of time, and you managed to get involved in this, this and this, it sounded extremely interesting to me. And with my skills in, I don't know what your skills are, but within this, this and this, I think that would link up quite well to a role within this sector and this company. So absolutely, taking what you've said, but then giving some demonstrable kind of, again, it's like the application, evidence of how your skills match that. So thank you so much for coming forward, because people never come forward when you ask for them to give kind of interview answers, so that's great. But I would say that for all of these things, if you're struggling with any of these commercial awareness, or there's some things that you just think, I've never even seen that before, you don't need to know. You don't need to know about all of the markets and prices and what's going on. You don't generally, but you do need to have an idea of trends in the market. And what might be helpful for you in trying to get into commercial awareness is, okay, I'm particularly interested in clothes, so I might follow somebody like Arcadia or a company like that, or that kind of market, and see what's happening. Where are they branching out? What are they doing? And that's easier for me to keep an eye on, because I'm interested in it. I care about it slightly more than I might care about another sector. An easy way to get into these things. I'm not saying that you necessarily have had to have read the Financial Times every day for the past 2 years. It's pretty hard going. Some of the stuff is pretty tough. But areas which you can read and are quite accessible, the Lex column, readers' comments page, I think are quite useful for helping you to form your own opinions and comments. should definitely be scanning over the first section, the companies and business section, or just read a paper, a good daily, you know, national, and read the business section of that. It doesn't have to be the Financial Times, but you do need to have an interest in knowing what's going on in the market or with companies. So just do start thinking about this, and this should help you. Also, for commercial awareness, we have Wet Feet, a subscription online which you can access through Career Connect. Now, this might be your lifesaver. It has books like Finance Interview Questions, where it will go through a lot more examples than what I've put up here. Go through, test yourself, practice them again and again. Some of the key phrases, how to value a company, learn that. If you don't know it, learn it. Just the basics. They're not going to expect you to know everything. They will teach you the finance part when you come in, but you need to show that you've started to look into it, okay? So those were just some things I wanted to start you thinking about when you're considering going into this. I'm going to quickly go back and just cover off assessment centres quickly, and then you're pretty much free to go. Assessment centres are obviously a big part of the investment banking process. Once you've gone through to the first round telephone interview or on-campus interview, or maybe you might even be called into the office, that's generally half an hour, and it's a mixture of, I would say, competency questions and motivational questions. So why this role? Why the bank? But once you get to the assessment centre, you're probably going to be meeting more people from the business side, and they are going to be asking you specific questions with regard to, okay, if you're going for a trading role, they might say, and it will only be to the level of your CV, but if you've studied economics or you've studied maths, they're going to talk about perhaps statistics or a theory or something that you might, you know, probability, and they're going to expect you to be able to answer questions on that. So don't let that surprise you. However, if you're a history graduate who's going for a role, they will not expect you to answer such, you know, detailed questions. They might still ask you general opinions and where you think things are going and how you think the BP oil disaster may have affected things and such things like that, but they will not ask you specific things on statistics and, you know, try and drill down on those areas. So please don't panic if that is something you're studying. They want a variety of different backgrounds, and they will change their interview methods to kind of cover all different areas, levels of financial knowledge. Other things you're going to encounter, role plays if you're going for, you know, sales. They can be good fun. Throw yourself into it. Try and enjoy it. They're going to be putting you on the spot, and they're going to be looking to see how you react in stressful situations. Group exercises, what are they looking for? They're looking for people who can listen, as well as people who can talk and say intelligent things. They don't want bulldozers, they want people who share ideas, who can bring other people into the group, who can keep an idea of what's going on in the time. You know, are we moving along? Are we going to get this presentation finished? So things like that, and again, we can talk about these things in more detail, but just to start thinking about some of the different areas. Presentations you will have to do. Very simple method to think about presentations is start, middle, end, okay? Always be thinking about how you're going to outline your proposal, the main body where you actually give them the result, you know, what you are going to do, why you've decided to take over this company, why you've decided to, you know, put shares into that market, and then the final, it's going over, it's concluding. I've done this because of this. You know, keep it simple and keep a clear strategy, okay? And they're pretty much the things that you're going to go through. What I would say about assessment centres, remember that though they say you're not being assessed at all times, and you're not, if you're really rude to the recruiters, it might be quite hard for you to get a job in the company. If you don't speak at lunchtime to anybody and go and stand in the corner on your own, it might be difficult for you to get a role in the company. So just think, though you're not being assessed at all times, you do need to, you know, generally show across the full day that you have all the kind of qualities that they're looking for, okay? So that's just the final thing that I wanted to really say about assessment centres. We've covered off the interviews. So what next? Register if you haven't. You can hardly see that, but www.careers.ox.ac.uk. Become our fan on Facebook. We're getting all social media now. CVs for investment banking, Monday the 18th of October. That will be by me again, I'm afraid. If you're sick of the sight of me, don't bother. But if you would like to come, it will be me doing that. Check deadlines for your favourite employers online. They will be soon. So if you do have people in mind, check them now. Develop your skills. Do you need to develop your IT skills, extracurricular activities, clubs, societies? Are you going to become members of any of these things to demonstrate that interest? Do your research. EG, read business press. We've talked about that slightly. Do it. Online blogs. I've talked about Robert Peston on BBC. There's others. There's graduate blogs. There's loads of things you can be reading. Wet Feet and Vault guides. Wet Feet, we have a subscription to. Vault, we actually have the books upstairs behind reception desk. They're very good. I really value Vault, but we're actually subscribed to Wet Feet here. But I would say if you can take the books out that we have upstairs, such as finance interviews, consulting, getting into investment banking, I think they're very helpful as well. Where are we up to? Presentations, skills workshops, trading games, anything you can have access to, do if you can. Draft your core CV. Maybe you want to come in and get it checked. You're very welcome to. I would be happy to. Any of the careers advisors are able to. We're all generalists as well as being specific, so we can all do that. Network at presentations, Oxford Careers Network, LinkedIn. You know, these are all things you can start to use. Join our email list and discussion groups. And I just want to show you things we have upstairs that I haven't covered off today. General publications that are produced to help you. It covers a lot of what I've covered today, CVs, assessment centres, as well as having descriptions of each of the role and the skills required to go into those roles. E-Financial Careers, fantastic online source. I advise you all to get on if you haven't. This is a very easy book to get through to look at all the skills in more detail. Career Choice, a bit more of a magazine for you to go through at your leisure, but it has different articles that will be interesting to you, and do feel free to take a copy. They're upstairs in the Resource Centre now. You had a banking and investment sheet on. These are written by myself. If you want to talk about it or come give me any information, that's fine, but take it away from you. Great first point of call. And you also have feedback sheets on your chair. You don't need to do that now, but if you'd like to give feedback and hand those in at any time, it'd be very useful for us to know how we can improve. Books here for you to take away for the finance fair. If you already want to start doing your research, grab one before you leave today, and hopefully I'll see you all at some point in the future. Okay, thanks very much, guys. That's great.